are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Eddie Johnson with 1 second to go. He's shot. It's good.
Detroit basketball.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. I am your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me at Twitter, at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me over at Detroit Bad Boys writing articles. You can find me on YouTube, at Kuz Ballroom. And like I let you guys know every podcast, I was a credentialed media member for the 2019-2020 season. We are recording this podcast on April 19th, right after the Pistons win over the Cleveland Cavaliers 109-105. We're going to talk about a lot of things from this game. We're going to talk about Killian Hayes. We're going to talk about Isaiah Stewart. We're going to talk about Sadiq Bey, Frank Jackson. We're just going to review this entire game. Like I told you guys, I said it on Twitter. A lot of you guys have followed me on Twitter. If you guys haven't already, make sure you guys go do that. I provide a lot of updates, a lot of clips about this podcast and what I want to do going forward on there. But like I told you guys on there, after game days, I'm going to want to do just recaps for the next podcast right after, talk about what we've seen in the game. Unless something drastic happens between the end of that game and the podcast publishing the next day, I'm usually just going to recap what we saw in the games. So that's what we're going to do this podcast. First, we're going to talk about a key matchup that I mentioned on Monday's podcast heading into the Cleveland Cavaliers game and revisit that and see how that went for it. And that matchup was the Isaiah Stewart and Jared Allen matchup. So I mentioned on that podcast Monday that I thought Jared Allen would be a good test to see for Isaiah Stewart. Jared Allen's really long. He's extremely athletic. He's extremely tall. He's really active on the glass. He's a really good shot blocker, rim protector. So I wanted to see how Isaiah Stewart would deal with that. And before I even go real in-depth about it, I just want people to remember, heading into the draft and after the Pistons drafted Isaiah Stewart, the thing I heard from everybody, like I've told you guys many times before, I don't watch many college basketball games. I'm not really deep into the prospects or college at all. But everything I heard about Isaiah Stewart after we drafted him was, oh, he's just not athletic. He's going to struggle to finish around these guys. He's going to be struggling to finish with guys who are more athletic or longer or taller because he's just not that athletic. He's just going to, that's why he's just a bad pick. He's not going to be able to deal with that. And I don't see what people were watching, honestly, because it does not look like that at all. Because this matchup today, like he's done all season, honestly, this is not the first time that he's completely obliterated a matchup. And that's what he did today. He completely dominated this matchup with Jared Allen. So let me tell you what Jared Allen had today. Jared Allen had 5 points, he had 5 rebounds, and he had 1 block. He was a minus 10 in, 28 minutes. That's what Jared Allen put up. Now, Isaiah Stewart, in his, third start in the last 4 games, I believe, second of three, he has 18 points, 16 rebounds, 3 blocks, 3 steals, 8 of 12 from the floor, I'm sorry, and plus 20, a team high, plus 20 in 32 minutes. The next closest person was, Josh Jackson at plus 16. I mean, Isaiah Stewart, there's a good argument to be made that Isaiah Stewart might have been the best player on the floor tonight. You could make that case. Isaiah Stewart, we're going to have a conversation soon about this dude. Everyone keeps saying that, oh, Sadiq Bey has to be of rookie first team. He has to be there. Oh, let's throw Sadiq Bey's name to rookie of the year. We have to make sure he's heard. Guys, maybe we're thinking about this wrong person. Maybe Isaiah Stewart should be this person that we're talking about. I mentioned to you guys, I think, last week on the first podcast I did, that Isaiah Stewart is the guy I'm the highest on from this. Actually, I'm discluding Killian, because like I've said many times, we haven't seen enough from him for me to really say anything about him. Even though I've talked about him a lot, I'm not going to make a prediction like that about him. But Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey, Saben Lee, I'm the highest on Isaiah Stewart. And he continues just to go out and just dominate games. He does so much in such a small amount of time. He can just completely flip a game. There was this one sequence where he went down Someone shot the ball. He got offensive rebound, tipped it back in, came down the floor, swatted someone's shot, got the rebound, outletted it, ran down the floor, got another offensive rebound, put it back up. Like, he can just do so many things in such a small amount of time. And once again, Jared Allen is no slouch. Like, he's not the strongest dude, I guess. He's not, like, 280 or anything. But Jared Allen is a really good center. He's no slouch at all. And Isaiah Stewart completely dominated him. Not only did Isaiah Stewart do his own thing, he looked like the better rim protector, the better defensive player of the two tonight. Isaiah Stewart was guarding, switching out on people like we always talk about. He was rim protecting, which, by the way, again, is another one of those things that we heard after the Pistons drafted him. Oh, he won't be able to play defense. He won't be able to protect the rim because he's just not that athletic. Which, it really is starting to make me think that we should just say screw everything we hear after the draft or anything we hear about prospects before the draft. It's really hard for me to trust. Like, I know people get things wrong, and I'm kind of being a little facetious with this. I'm joking around a little bit. But, like, how can you be so wrong about a player and, like, expect me to trust, like, what you're saying again? Like, I was told that this man, Isaiah Stewart, would not be able to do anything on defense because he was not athletic, and he wouldn't be able to contest shots because of it. I have not seen that at all. No, he's not the most athletic guy. But he's not. I think that was a little bit overblown. He's not the most athletic guy. But if you saw tonight, he caught like what, 3 or 4 lobs from Killian and slammed it down. Like he's not the most. He's like not jumping out the gym or anything. But he's not a slouch athletically. It's not like he's just stuck to the ground. I don't know. Like I don't know. I don't understand how you can be so wrong about a player. Cause everyone who like people have been tweeting out the fact that I think it was Bleacher Report gave the Pistons a D on their draft grade with Isaiah Stewart. And they listed those things for reasons why. I just don't understand how you can be so wrong about a player or be so off about a guy. Like, these are things I was told, and he's looking at the complete opposite of it again. Like I said, Isaiah Stewart, 18 points, 16 rebounds, 8 of 12 from the floor. Jared Allen, 5 points, 5 rebounds, 2 of 4 from the floor, and minus 10 in a Detroit Pistons win. We're going to talk a little bit more later on about Killian Hayes. There is something else that... Actually, you know what? Before we go into our first ad... Let me tell you guys about something that was really getting on my nerves, honestly. I was going to spend a whole segment talking about this, but I don't think it's going to take up a whole segment, so I'll just hit it on it here. So in the fourth quarter, the Pistons like were trying to hold on to this lead and like trying to close out this game. So I'm going to put on my analysis hat and act like this team is actually trying to win games. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, they're tanking, or we'll accept losses, who cares, blah, blah. I'm going to put on my analysis hat and act like this team was actually winning and criticize it based on that. So, Killian Hayes had, I believe, 8 points in the fourth quarter. He was playing really well. So, the Pistons were going with a high pick and roll with Killian Hayes almost every time down the floor, and it was really working. Until the Cavaliers said, you know what, the Pistons have Tyler Cook out here, who can't shoot, and he's beating us a couple baseline cuts. We're just going to help off of him and take away the lob, and we're just going to force Killian to have to beat us like 2-on-1. And they were doubling Killian every time he came off the screens because they didn't respect Tyler Cook at all. So at that point, Dwayne Casey took Tyler Cook out the game, which applaud. That was a good move because they were really trying to – it was really hurting the Pistons, the fact they had so many non-shooters on the floor. Because at the same time, I believe they had Jahlil Okafor on the floor along with Josh Jackson. And it was really hurting the team, really hurting the team. And it was a good move by Casey to get Tyler Cook out of there. So as he got him out of there, he also brought in Isaiah Stewart for Jahlil Okafor, another good move. So it started to get better over the next few minutes. But then I believe I would say like the last 3 minutes of the game or the last 4 minutes of the game, the Cavs started helping off of Josh Jackson because Josh Jackson is not a really good shooter either. So they were like, you know what, if he's going to beat us, we're going to let him beat us. We're not going to let Killian Hayes continue to come off this pick and roll and just destroy us in the pick and roll, whether that's dropping off passes, lobbing it, pulling up for a midi, floatering it, getting it to the basket. Like, he was just dominating the pick and roll today. It was beautiful to watch, by the way. But they were helping off with Josh Jackson. Now, I said this so many times on Twitter. If you guys don't follow me again, follow me at KukielNBA. I said this so many times. Like, if someone's going to do that, at least have them help off the guy in the corner. So put Josh in the corner. What the Pistons were not doing was not putting him in the corner. They were putting him on the wing. And the wing they were always putting him on, which is just, it was seriously driving me freaking crazy. And I have to, the thing that makes it hard for me to watch the Pistons this year, because I have to balance this whole, this makes no sense. Why are you doing this? This is stupid. I can actively see it. It's such an easy fix. But then also people are telling me, well, Koo, they're trying to lose. Why are you caring? Blah, blah. So I get stuck in this, like, this in between of like, well, can I really criticize and analyze the game since they're probably like, people are telling me they're just throwing and they're doing it on purpose. But this right here I had to talk about because it was really pissing me off. The Pistons were putting Josh Jackson on the wing that Killian Hayes was coming off the screen to. So they'd set the screen at the right wing or towards the top of the key a little bit towards the right wing. And Killian would come off it to his left. And on that left wing, Josh Jackson sitting right there. And his defender, which I believe was usually Darius Garland, was not even guarding Josh. He's standing literally at the free throw line, extended, and just waiting there for Killian every time. Killian was getting doubled each time. So the first time Killian gave it to Josh, I believe, shot a three, missed. Then Killian gave it to him again, and he tried driving, he missed again. And then the next play down, they did the same thing again, and you could tell Killian hesitated. He did not want to pass it to Josh again. He did not want to have to do this again. So he backed up again, tried to escape dribble out the trap. It couldn't work. He had to throw it to somebody and ended up turning the ball over. It was just such like an easy fix for like any team. Like either one, take Josh out the game. You don't have to do that. If you don't want to do that, just put him in the corner. Or at least put him on the wing opposite side. Or put him on the corner opposite side so they can't keep doubling Killian off the pick and roll. It was seriously frustrating the hell out of Killian. If you were watching his body language, he was getting pissed. He was not, it was really frustrating him. He wasn't saying anything. He's not going to call his teammate out, call his coach. I'm not saying anything like that. But if you watch his body movement, he was not happy that this kept happening over and over. And he couldn't really counter it. Like, what do you want him to do? He's getting trapped. That was just something I had to hit on. It was really just like an annoying as hell, like, pet peeve. It was just, I don't know. It was really just pissing me off. I don't see why. Like, the Pistons ended up winning the game anyway, so I guess I can just, like, lay off it a little bit. But, like, that's just, like, an easy fix that, like a 2K player could have made. Like, if you played 2K, like, I guarantee you if you're coming off the screen in 2K and someone keeps doubling you over there, you're going to say, hey, let's get this guy the hell away from me. Let's put him over there so he can't keep doubling me over here. So, like, I don't know if it was because they were trying to lose the game or didn't want to actually win or they just didn't really care at that moment or what. But they were really making life hard on Killian that last 3 minutes. The Pistons were, not the Cavs. The Pistons were self-inflicting pain on the Killian Hayes. I don't get it. I don't get why. Even though one play, Killian actually did a really good job at maneuvering the pick and roll and getting by the double anyway. So I ran on a little too long. Let me tell you about our first sponsor, Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. This app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, some athletes I've seen actually in there that do interviews, and insiders in real time about your favorite team and sport. Locker Room is the best place to engage in conversation and debate about whatever sports subject you're thinking about. I go on there Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays with my boy Duncan Smith. He hosts a room on there. It's some of the most fun I have talking Pistons or just NBA or NFL or anything. Literally anything that's trending at the time, we just talk about it, and it's extremely fun to do. Go download the free Locker Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. I know you will find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues on there. I can't wait to join you all on the app. I'll be sure to let you know when the Locked On Pistons room is live this week. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. And now also let me tell you about another sponsor of ours today, Rock Auto. You ever need a part for your car, head to the store, go through a ton of confusing questioning just for one of the workers to tell you that they don't have the part that you're looking for? I know I have, and like I've told you guys many times before, I'm in the process of getting a new car, so hopefully I don't have to go through this anymore. But I've went through it so many times over the past year and a half with my Mustang, my Ford Focus. It was a pain. That's why you should avoid all these problems and rock with another one of our sponsors, rockauto.com. Find whatever part you're looking for on your computer or in your hand on your phone by using rockauto.com. Don't worry about having to create an account or making a membership. Just head over to rockauto.com and start shopping. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest and most reliable prices. Head over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. But yeah, man, that whole thing with Killian and that last 4 minutes with the way they were handling the Josh Jackson whole scenario that I just talked about, it was really just really annoying for me. It's just like a simple fix, like I said. It's just, I don't know. I don't get why they did it. But there is one play that I kind of hit on during that rant that I want to talk about as well, and it's with Killian Hayes. So Killian Hayes had 8 points in the fourth quarter. This is probably his best game. Actually, not probably. I'm going to say it was his best game of the season, easily. He was doing a great job passing the ball, finding his guys open. I believe he had 6 assists in the first quarter. First like 10 minutes, I think. I believe that's what it was. But either way, Killian Hayes had a great game. And this, I'm going to point to this one play to talk about for why. So like I said, the Pistons just weren't like budging with the whole Josh Jackson thing out of arrogance or stupidity or whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't know why, but they weren't budging with this. And like I said, the first play, the second play, and the third play went back to back to back, and it all like frustrated the hell out of Killian. First two passes, like I said, went to Josh, he missed, and then the third one, Killian ended up turning over because of a trap that happened. So I don't believe it was the next play, but it was the play like right after that one. I believe it was like 2 minutes left in the game. Killian Hayes came off the pick and roll, and once again, Josh is on that left wing in his way, and instead of Killian like maneuvering into a trap or having to pass the ball to Josh, Killian showed off incredible ball handle, was able to like snake the pick and roll a little bit, throw it out in front of him, get across the trap that was coming, and able to get a cool runner off. And those are the kind of plays that you really like to see out of your point guard. Like I'm going to, like I said on the last podcast, follow me on Twitter at CougarNBA. I'm going to tweet this clip out and I'm going to talk about it. If I ever tweet clips out, I have a clip thread on there, it's likely because I'm going to be talking about it on the podcast. I'm going to do that tomorrow with this clip specifically and that whole scenario I was talking about with the Josh Jackson left wing BS. But Killian Hayes did a really good job right there. And it's just, when you see it, it's just one of those things that is beautiful to watch. I talked about it a little bit last podcast about some of the things that are just great to see for me when I was talking about Sadiq Bey when he put Luke Kennard on his backside in jail. Another one of those things I really like to see is see a point guard snake the pick and roll. And Killian did a really good job at doing that right there and getting past the trap and was able to get a floater off for himself. And outside of that, there's one other thing about Killian Hayes that you should take away from this game, and I think a lot of people should be happy about. And I made this statement on Twitter, and I'm going to dig my feet in and actually make this claim. I'm going to make this claim. It's not going to be if or maybe. I'm going to make this claim. You guys can hold me to it. I'm just going to make it. I don't think there's any reason to worry about Killian Hayes eventually becoming a reliable three-point shooter, if not a really good three-point shooter, and this is why. So first, we have his overseas numbers. He was a good three-point shooter his last season, and he was a really, really good free throw shooter. I believe he was shooting 90% from the line over there. Coming over here, he's still a really good free throw shooter in the games we've seen him in. And recently, as you've seen him gain his confidence early in the year, honestly, I know this is going to sound like maybe some Killian fans or Killian haters, I should say, are going to be like, oh, you're being hypocritical. Oh, you're picking and choosing. I don't care. I really do not care what you guys say. I don't care. I'm not counting the beginning of the season against Killian because this dude looks like a completely different player. It was very clear that at the beginning of the season, either one, he just wasn't in shape, or two, wasn't completely healthy, or even three, which is probably the most likely scenario, that he just had no training camp, no preseason, no like real offseason with the Pistons because of this shortened season and the fact they just threw guys right in, that he just wasn't ready at that time. And that was obviously not a depiction of what that guy actually is. That was not who Killian Hayes actually is. If you've watched him ever since he came back, he looks like a completely different player. Confidence-wise, athletically, movement, like everything about him looks different. So I'm not counting the beginning of the year. I'm only counting these games. I'm sorry, you guys can call it what you want. I really do not care. I'm not counting the beginning of the season. So since he's came back, he's shown multiple games over and over and over a really nice mid-range pull-up. And tonight he did in the fourth quarter three straight times down the floor to keep the Pistons in it. He hit multiple clutch baskets tonight. I don't know if the NBA.com keeps track of like what the details of a clutch basket is. I know it's like under 5 minutes with like a 5-point game or something. I don't know. But it was a clutch baskets multiple times back to back to back by Killian Hayes. And all of them were pull-up middies. And they were all wet. All of them all net. They didn't bounce around the rim. He didn't get lucky bounces. They were all net. And each one, his form looks beautiful on his pull-up middies. You know what that tells me? That tells me that a guy who was really good from the charity stripe, the guy that was overseas shooting really good from deep, the guy who is showing that he can hit floaters here and he can hit mid-range pull-ups, that tells me that that guy is someone who's going to eventually become a good three-point shooter. He's maybe not be one right now. One of my boys that I've mentioned on the podcast before, Hal Bridius, you guys can find him on Twitter as well, at Hal Bridius, but he tweets out a lot of clips. He's really good with like analyzing guys' forms and what's going on with their lower body, upper body, etc., etc. Make sure you guys go follow him because he does a really good job with that on Killian. And one of the things I've seen him mention with Killian is that Killian is a lot of times is not squaring his body up on his three-point shots. He's falling forward. He's more to the side. He's not squaring his body up. But his form looks really nice. He has really good touch, I believe. So combine all of that with the fact that he's a really good free throw shooter, and he's showing us a really good pull-up middie, And the fact that he has a history of being a good shooter overseas and a history of being a really good free throw shooter, I don't believe there's any reason for anyone to really be worried about him eventually becoming a really good three-point shooter. And I heard Greg Kelser, by the way, say this after the game. I'm sorry for rambling on, but it's just another thing that like kind of got on my nerves a little bit. I keep hearing everyone call this man Rajon Rondo, younger Rajon Rondo. I don't see Rajon Rondo, dude. I don't see that. Because Rajon Rondo, like, he didn't have pull-up middies. He didn't, like, I don't want to sound like a Killian Stan here, because I know people get annoyed with the Killian Stans and like, oh, he's not out here looking like a superstar. Why are we acting like he is? Like, really, if you watch Killian, I see why people have stanned him and why people are so high on him. Like, he's not Rajon Rondo, dude. And it's very clear to see, like, it's very clear for me at least, why people believe he's going to become a really good offensive player. Because it's not like, he's even showing the ability to get to the rim in this game too. He had one where he just realized, oh, I'm just taller than this guy. I'm just going to go to the basket and just shoot right over him on a layup. And that's exactly what he did on Darius Garland, scored. But, like, he just shows that he's going to be, I just think he's going to become a good offensive player. And I don't see how you watch him and see Rajon Rondo. Everyone just thinks, oh, let's pick a good passing point guard who can't shoot and sucks on offense and say that's Killian Hayes. Like that's, and I just think it's extremely lazy narrative to try to put on him. It's extremely lazy to do. Because they really don't remind me. He doesn't remind me of Rondo at all, to be honest. I think it's just lazy. But yeah, another great game for Killian Hayes. His best game of the year. 12 points, 9 assists, and a 4-point win for the Pistons. Multiple clutch baskets down the stretch. Something you want to see out of your point guard. And he got more aggressive down the stretch, too. That's a really another thing you really want to see from him. A lot of people said that he wasn't being aggressive enough at the beginning of the year. Like I said, screw the beginning of the year. Down the stretch this game, he went and got his bucket. He wasn't going out there being passive. He was going out there searching for his own bucket. He went toe-to-toe with Colin Sexton, back and forth on multiple possessions. Killian Hayes is going to be good, guys. I'm making that claim now. I've seen enough. I see why people are so high on him. This game was his best game of the season. He's going to be good. He's going to be a good player. This is a good pick. Coming up, I'm going to talk about another player who had a really good game and is just stringing multiple games together. I think you guys know who I'm probably going to talk about. And also, I'm going to bring up another question that I haven't told you guys yet. It's going to be a surprise, and I think you guys are going to like to hear it. But first, let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, BetOnline.ag. Betting is now legal in Michigan, and if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there was one problem I constantly ran into. There's just so many apps and so many different places you can bet through. Like, which one do I do it through? Which one is the best for me? And that's when I found BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season might be over, but the NBA and the NHL season are still in full swing. If you want to take your adventures beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there. This is honestly one of the coolest things I learned about BetOnline, which I just had no clue that you could even do. You can even cover awards, TV shows, reality TV. Like, I didn't even know you could bet on those things. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure to use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Another player who had a really good game tonight is just stringing along multiple good games back-to-back-to-back, and is having really, like I've mentioned before, a really good, like, past month and a half was Frank Jackson. Dude is just straight out here balling. Like, I know I've mentioned him a lot, and if any of you guys listening are listening for your first time or have not been keeping up with the Pistons all season, you guys may be saying, well, who the hell is Frank Jackson? Like, why you keep mentioning this guy? Who the hell is he? Frank Jackson, I understand you saying that at the beginning of the season, but now you guys need to know who Frank Jackson is, because he's going to be re-signed in the offseason. I can guarantee you this. He is going to be on the Detroit Pistons roster next season. Dude's straight balling. He had 20 points, 7 of 14 from the field, 3 of 8 from deep. He was a plus 5 in how many minutes? He played 28 minutes. So the dude was just straight balling. He was a positive on the floor. At the end of the game, he hit multiple clutch baskets. He had one basket at the end of the third quarter, man. And it's just like, it was a really cool play to see. He took it. The clock was winding down with like 3 seconds left. He took it coast to coast. And he sidestepped and did like an up and under Derrick Rose type of up and under layup. And put some English on it, some filet on it. And was able to get up on the backboard and finish it. It was just a really cool play from him. And then in the fourth quarter, he had a really cool dunk coming down the middle as well. He had a couple big shots late from deep. And he also had one and one finish that really put some separation between the Pistons and the Cavs late in that game. Coming off the baseline, attacking, pump faking, attacking the baseline. and getting to the basket and picking up that and one. I mean, the dude's just straight balling. He's going to be re-signed by the Detroit Pistons this season, I'm telling you. He's going to be the Pistons' backup shooting guard for the next season or however long they sign him to. He solidified that spot. And Frank Jackson's story is one of those ones I really like to hear about with the player. One of those players you don't really know about. He's bounced around a little bit from team to team. The Pistons sign him. He's not viewed to be like anything really. He's one of those guys, oh, well, you know, which by the way, I had no idea about this until I was told like recently, but apparently he had like a 40-inch vertical coming into the draft. And he was always like, he was like a 40% shooter in college. So I guess he falls under those type of players that are just like, oh yeah, you know, he makes sense coming out of college, how he could possibly translate. But you know, it just never worked for him. It's just not going to work for him. He's just here to fill out the roster. And I know that's how almost everybody viewed him when he signed with the Pistons. But he's not that anymore. And he's completely earned this. That I absolutely love seeing that from guys. It's kind of like with Tyler Cook, which I'm not as big a fan of Tyler Cook. I know you guys are going to say, oh, that's because you like Sekou and he's taking minutes from Sekou. That may be some of the case. That may be a little bit of the case. But I really just think that Tyler Cook is just... like, he's just a high flyer. Like, yeah, get a dude to open lane, he'll dunk the ball. Outside of that, he's not going to do anything. Like, yeah, have him run to the basket and throw it up, and he'll dunk. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to turn this into a hate on Tyler Cook. There's no need. He just got hit with some crossfire right there. I did not mean to hit him with that crossfire. I don't know why I did that. But basically, with Frank Jackson has earned everything he's getting right now. He's going to earn this contract he's getting in the offseason. And it's one of those stories you just love to see. He's worked extremely hard. At the beginning of the season, remember, they tried playing him at point guard. And I think that's where, like, we saw that he just isn't a point guard. Like, that's, they were playing out of position. He looked really bad doing so. But ever since they moved him to off guard, ever since they moved him into that Langston Galloway role that I talked about earlier, or last week in one of those podcasts last week, ever since they moved him into that role, he's been absolutely just flourishing, like playing extremely well off the bench. It's crazy to see this from him because, honestly, he's playing probably even better than Langston Galloway did in this role because Langston Galloway was a little bit more streaky that we've seen over the past month and a half than Frank Jackson is. And Frank Jackson, like I said, I had no clue about this, but he has a 40-inch vert. Like, that dude can bounce. That dude can get up. And he does that many times getting to the rim. He uses it to his advantage to draw fouls, to get shots over players at the rim. So not only is he a threat from outside, he's showing that he's able to like use that outside shot to his leverage and get guys to fly past him on pump fakes or come out closing fast on him so he can get around them either to the baseline or down the middle when they're closing out chaotically. And he's able to finish over guys at the rim or at least draw fouls most of the time. And another thing he's showing is that he's... I think I've said this word a lot on this podcast like recently, but he's been really crafty in learning how to maneuver inside the arc. I know that's like a popular thing that I've been saying lately about these players, along with Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes, etc. But he's doing a really good job of it. Frank Jackson's been balling. And to close out this podcast, I'm going to bring this question I mentioned to you guys earlier that I'm going to throw out there. I haven't said it yet. I've seen some people say it on Twitter. I don't know if they're being serious or if they were just joking, trying to be funny, get some tweets or whatever. But I'm actually thinking that it should be a conversation worth having at this point. And that question is, should Isaiah Stewart start over Mason Plumlee? Like, I'm ready to have that discussion now. Because Isaiah Stewart is straight up balling. Like, he's playing absurdly well. It's like over the last four games, he has 18 points, 19 points, 15 points, 12 points. One of those games, he had the 15.1, he had 21 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 blocks. Another one, today he had 3 blocks, 3 steals. Another game, 19, 2, 12, and 1. He can shoot from deep. He's shooting really good from the field. Just listen to some of these percentages over the last few games that he's played. 66%, 63%, 58%, 85%, 100%, 80%, 80%, 66%. Like, he's just efficient. He knows what he's doing out there. He dominates matchups with his strength and his wingspan. He just knocks people around. Like, I think that's the thing that people overlooked with Isaiah Stewart coming into the draft, is that he's using his strength and his just straight, like, motor to, like, wear guys down that are more athletic than him. Like, most of these guys don't want to bang like that. Like, I think that's the big thing with him, is that these guys may be more athletic than him, they may be longer or taller, etc., but when you're banging down there, it's hard to use your athleticism when you're getting beat up. Like, go try to play basketball and go try to jump as high as you can or do something like that after someone's slapping down at you or you're getting bumped around. Like, it's hard to use your athleticism when you're getting bumped around. And that's what I think Isaiah Stewart's doing. He's wearing guys down. He's bumping people around. They can't really use their athleticism against him because he's taking their stamina away. He's fatiguing them. And I think we're legitimately at a point where you could probably say that Isaiah Stewart's been playing much better than Mason Plumlee. Like, at the beginning of the year, I was one of the people that said Mason Plumlee's playing way better than you guys thought. He had a couple triple-doubles, obviously, and I was saying that you guys should be giving Mason Plumlee an apology. But I believe over the past month, Isaiah Stewart probably has been outplaying Mason Plumlee now. And I understand the whole veteran-rookie dynamic. You don't want to give a rookie a starting job over the veteran. Just close the season out. So I understand how like that works, even though I think it's incredibly stupid. I know my friend Keith Black, who knows, like I mentioned on the last podcast, the guy who's been alive since Jesus Christ was around and has just followed everything and knows history of the history. I know he talks about how Lawrence Frank just didn't start Andre Drummond when he was a rookie, when he was very clearly a center, the best starting center on the team until like the last, eight games of the season. I mean, I could probably see that with Isaiah Stewart, but to be honest, I think Isaiah Stewart probably has been the best center on this team over like the past month. And I think it's a conversation worth having. Like a month ago or a month and a half ago, saying something like this, it was like, haha, yeah, Beef Stew's playing really well. But really, Mason Plumlee's going to start. He's going to start, though. The past month and a half, though, it's changed. It's changed. I think Isaiah Stewart is earning that starting spot. I think it's only a matter of time before the Pistons give it to him. Like, he's earning it. And it's really cool to see if you're a Pistons fan. Also, if you guys noticed, yes, I am calling him Beef Stew from now on. I've given in. He's playing too well for me to continue a fight with his nickname, and that's what everyone wants to call him, so I'll call him it. He's been dominating, playing really well, and I'll give up my fight. His name was Beef Stew. I will call him Beef Stew from now on. I've given up. Beef Stew Fan Club, I hope you're happy, man. I hope you're happy. But that's all I've got for you guys today. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. If you haven't already, go down below and give me 5 stars and write in the review a question or a statement you want to give me about the Pistons, about the NBA, anything, and we can talk about it on Wednesday's mailbag. If I get some submissions for Wednesday's mailbag, we'll actually do it this week. I don't know if we'll be able to do it this week. I don't know if we're going to get that many submissions, but if we do, I'll be sure to do that for you guys. But until then, I'll see you guys later. Go Pistons. Enjoy you guys' day, and I'll see you guys later.